Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Not as always.
No, not as always.
We did the math.
Yeah, what, 7 weeks since we've actually done a show together?
Oh, geez, I thought it was just over a month. Seven's a long time.
I think it's been like 7 weeks.
That's crazy. Let's just, yeah. You know, let's just take a deep breath. October's here.
We got this, man.
We got this. We did it.
Just before we jump into everything, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to each and every one of our sub-in co-hosts who came on the show, our guests who helped us fill in the blanks while, you know, I was going through my move and everything else, and while Ryan was going through the wedding, while I was on vacation in Ontario, and all the other crazy stuff that has happened in August and September. Thank you guys so much for filling in. We really appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll be good to go from now on, though.
Yeah.
Not have any other crazy interruptions.
Should be clear soon.
Oh, BlizzCon.
Oh, that's a week. Or are you gone for longer than a week?
No, I'm gone for just under a week, so it'll take me over Friday.
It's a worthy cause. We'll figure something out. There's got to be someone who isn't going to BlizzCon, right?
Nope, just you. Just you.
Damn it. I don't know. I'm kind of afraid of LA, so.
You can do a solo show. It'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about BlizzCon. I'm not at BlizzCon.
That'll That's basically, all there is to talk about. Goodbye.
Yeah, like, I have a virtual ticket. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't bought it yet. So.
Oh, you should.
I know I should.
And then
I
every camera I'll walk by, I'll go like this.
Yes. I'm imagining you're doing this. And then
oh, no. You got it wrong. I was waving like a maniac.
Oh, well. I was putting my thumbs up like a maniac. Although
I thought we were on the same page and stuff.
Well, it's been 7 weeks. I mean, we're out of sync. So we'll eventually get back on there.
We got to get into this. Yeah. So what have you been up to over the last 7 weeks?
Well, I'm not going to give you the details on the last 7 weeks. I mean, there's seven episodes of Gamers In. Well, not seven episodes, but maybe three or four. No, I'm just joking. You don't need to go listen to those. Although Josh played some amazing games, I can tell you that much. Over the last week, though, I have been enjoying my newfound free time, which is called not planning a wedding. I'm trying something new. I at the start of the year, I made a list of things I wanted to accomplish in 2014, and one of those was...
Why would you do that? That's just setting yourself up for...
Because I like depressing myself. You know, the internet doesn't do it enough. Watching CNN doesn't do it enough. So I just wanted to look at this thing that would... Yeah, all right. Looking at this, January 1st, 2015, I'm going to be a very sad man. That's not true. You know what? I made some pretty decent... You know, pretty easy stuff. Like, get married was the first one. I mean, come on, if I failed at that, then the whole list was falling off. No, one of those was to produce more video content, and really it's just been a matter of not having enough time. But then I realized the reason you didn't have enough time is because you were caring too much about video. So I did I'm starting easy, and I started a series, which I'm hoping Jocelyn will join me in because it's super easy. She probably will because it's a great idea. It's called Preppin' the Inn, and it's basically just quick looks of games that I'm playing that I'm going to talk about on the show. Currently, they're being uploaded to youtube.com/RyanMurphyCA, I believe. They're on the Facebook page. They're on Twitter as well, so you can find them there. But, half hour long, and I've already got two of them up on two different games. And I don't know, just, you know, having a lot of fun playing these games and just thought it would be a good idea to upload a quick snippet of each one. And because I like to play some, shall we say, games that not many people own or would think of playing, like a Wii U game maybe.
Yeah, so, there's definitely a lot of those that people don't own.
Yeah, so I figure, but that's not all. Like, I'm hoping to do other things as well, but...
If I was on the ball, then I totally would have recorded some of my Shadow of Mordor today. I wasn't thinking.
See, well, I mean, that's the beauty of it. It can be really as whatever you want. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything specific. Like, Hyrule Warriors, I had already finished the campaign, but... That game is so weird that I could just pretty much pick any portion of the campaign and you wouldn't know what's going on. It would look as if you were playing it for the first time. Have you ever played a Dynasty Warriors game?
I have not, but I did see all of the previews of all the heroes in Hyrule Warriors, and it actually looked really, really fun. It was just like the kind of game that I would come home, sit down after a bad day, and just like wreck the shit out of everyone.
I mean, yeah, you pretty much nailed it on the head. Dynasty Warriors was, I've never played a Dynasty Warriors, but it's one of those games that everyone makes fun of. Like, oh, you know, you're just mashing buttons and killing armies of faceless dudes. And they make
What's wrong with that?
Well, exactly. That's what I said. But I think what's wrong with that is that it's Dynasty Warriors. I'm sure there's a Dynasty Warriors fan out there. It's like, there's a story and it makes perfect sense and it's amazing. But I look at it and I just see, you know, boring story, boring characters, boring everything. Hyrule Warriors is interesting because it throws away all the stuff that was uninteresting in Dynasty Warriors and puts in just layers on a Zelda theme. So it's set in Hyrule and you are playing as Link. You're playing as Link, you're playing as Zelda, you're playing as Impa, a whole cast of characters.
They added a whole bunch of new ones, didn't they, too?
Yeah,
maybe they not did. A whole bunch, but some new characters that we've never seen, or that are kind of based on Zelda themes. I remember seeing one that kind of reminded me of, you remember in Wind Waker, I think? Those little tree seed guys? There's like a forest witch or something that reminds me of that theme.
There are a few new baddies that they put in. There's a new character in there called Lana that is an original character. And then there's a couple.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and there's like you can play as Midna. You can play as Ruto, which is the Princess Zora person.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then the Goron Durinia. And feels like I'm making all this up, but I'm not. Yeah. This is just from memory. So if it sounds like Ryan's like, someone write this down and call Nintendo. He's just coming up with some great names for Zelda characters. You get to play as Sheik. You get to play as Zelda. The story is...
I love Sheik.
Yeah, Sheik is great. And she's actually a really cool character in this one. All the characters feel very different. You know, obviously with Link, you're like swinging your sword and you're doing badass moves like that. And then with Impa, you have a giant sword. And with Zelda, you have like a rapier. And then with Sheik, you have a harp, which, you know, you'd think you'd be a little more, well, it's a badass harp. Don't get me wrong, but.
She was basically like super stealthy ninja thing. And she taught you all those songs with the harp. So it makes sense.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. And the attention to detail on like the Zelda characters and the way they, you know, the way their attacks work and stuff is really neat. And it's the story is pretty nonsensical. Like if you try to fit it within the timeline, don't try. It's not a timeline game.
I can get my book out.
It would
fit the timeline and be like, wait.
We could fit it right here if we just kind of move in and ignore everything over here. Basically, how the story works is you are Link in the Hyrule Warriors universe, which let's say is a, I don't know if you're a Doctor Who fan, but a super split, timey-wimey, enclosed universe. Nothing can touch it.
So kind of like the Nexus in Heroes of the Storm?
Yes, exactly like the Nexus. Is there a thing in the Nexus that allows you to open portals to go to other universes?
There must be. Don't go into too much detail, but they pluck heroes out of their own universes and bring them all to the Nexus.
Perfect. Plucking. So, we'll stick with that. There is a character in this universe called Lana, which has a split character named Sia, which is an evil person. And she is like... Now, the evil person's trying to resurrect Ganondorf, and then the good person's like opening up portals to other Zelda, almost franchises, Zelda timelines to bring those characters in. So,
it's complicated.
It's super Japanese. So you're like going to Ocarina of Time place and fighting Darunia or whatever, and rescuing Princess Zudoruto or whatever, Dorito Trito, I don't know. And then you're going to like Twilight Princess and like fighting off Midna and fighting that weird guy with a cape and mask thing. And then you're going to like Skyward Sword Land and like Fee is a character, that weird sword that talks to you. It's just super, super duper Zelda fan here's all the Zelda we could fit into one game without hurting your eyes, you know? And
you know, I really want to play this game, but it's Wii U, and it's just
it's not a game. Like,
purchase a next gen system. I just can't wrap my head around it being a Wii U. And there's been probably three or four titles in the last, I want to say, 6 months or so that have me really going, oh man, I wish I had a Wii U to play this game, but I don't want to spend the money on a Wii U.
I don't blame you. Of course, there's other consoles out there that we're obviously going to talk. Like, if you look at the list that we have for our topic, there's not a lot of Wii U on there that stands out.
There's a lot of PC, which makes me happy, which is really the reason why I haven't splurged yet.
There's no exclusives besides on the Wii U to write home about. Mm-hmm. So you got that. I got that argument going for me, but it's an interesting game. It's a lot of fun. It's probably the first and last Dynasty Warriors game I'll play until they come out with a Hyrule Warriors 2. I don't see myself going out and playing Dynasty Warriors. There's a Dynasty Warriors fan listening, and he's just stomping on his iPod and whipping his hair buds around and throwing them into a lake or something. And he realizes those things are expensive. But no, I really enjoy the Zelda franchise and the way they've layered it on here, and I'm really glad that Nintendo's kind of come out in front and said, like, okay, we're going to also have a bunch of DLC for it that actually goes into other Zelda realms. There's going to be more Ocarina of Time content.
Hey.
Majora's Mask content.
Is Skull Kid in it?
You know what? I bet you money that Skull Kid will be a playable character.
Oh, but he's not in it yet.
He's not in it yet. He'll probably be DLC. Actually, funny enough, the first DLC coming out for the Master Quest pack will let you play as Epona. As a weapon.
Interesting.
Yeah. Link will get a new weapon that allows him to use Epona.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like you actually got to play as the horse and just like run around like stomping people.
You do get to go around stomping people. I'm sure some of the moves are Link using his sword, but I'm sure some of them are some sweet, sweet hoof action. I cannot confirm nor deny if that is true, but I do know that Epona will be a character, and I don't know. I really dug it. It's quirky. It's weird, and it's one of those titles that, like, yeah, you're not finding this anywhere else. It's only on Wii U, and some would say that's both a bonus and a detriment to the system. But
I really wish that they'd just give up the whole hardware thing and just make games for my PC.
Life so much easier?
Oh, it would. I would give them so much money.
If only Nintendo would fail so my life could be better.
Yes. Now you're touching on.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from, but they're a proud company. I mean, they're not gonna give up for that.
Very, very true.
You gotta start pre-ordering those amiibos. Which I did, so let's not go there.
I can't even remember exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, that's a good point. Take a guess at what you think I'm talking about, because this could be funny.
Because are they those little, like, figurine things?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Skylanders?
Exactly like Skylanders.
Okay.
For Smash Brothers.
Oh, for Smash Brothers, that's it. I'm like, I can't remember why. Was that for, like, props making your Miis or something? I can't remember, but yeah, no.
I got Link, obviously. Mario and Samus.
And how much do those set you back?
They're $13.99 a pop.
Oh,
I'm only buying three, so you can at least give me that.
That's what you say for now.
The Luigi one looks pretty tempting.
See?
They're okay. I wanted to make sure I got the
well.
I know you do, and so does Nintendo, the fucking bastard. I'm hoping. I only wanted to get the ones I wanted, like the characters that I wanted, no matter how good or bad they were in terms of like figurines. And then when I get them in front of me and I kind of take a look at them, I was like, okay, is it worth spending the $15 after tax on characters that that I like but don't necessarily like need just because they look good? So if they're not up to par, then it's like, okay, these three are fine, I can test out the amiibo stuff, have some fun with it, and move on with my life, because I don't want my office to look like the trophy room for Smash Brothers. I mean,
why not?
Because that would hurt, you know, just stepping on all those plastic figurines. And you realize you just crumpled a $15 Toon Link, and nobody wants that feeling on their
That's conscience. True. But. So, do you actually have one in front of you right now?
Oh, no, no. They don't come out till November.
Oh, so you just, like, pre-ordered?
Yes.
A little plastic toy?
Yes. Is there okay. any other confusion?
Nope, nope. Okay. I'm all caught up.
You got this. It's funny, like, I'm not the one that owns a plush Zergling that can convert every once in a while, although that is pretty cool. Bad example. But making fun of me for pre-ordering plastic toys when you pre-ordered a plushie.
It's a reversible plushie, and it's StarCraft, so suck it in your face.
But it's Link, and it does cool shit. Your weird plushie thing just reverses. You can't, like,
put just? It on a...
Yeah, I know. That's probably a bad argument. A poor choice of words. But you can't, like, stick it on a portal and have it come into the game.
That is true. Yet.
Yet. There's a chip somewhere. I gotta find
it. It's gotta be.
The chat room is mentioning Bayonetta 2 is coming out for Wii U as well. We're going to talk about that a little later. And the demo's out right now, so that's probably what I'm going to do next. I'll cool. record me playing through the demo, and I'll put it up live. And once again, everybody can experience what it's like to own a Wii U game, but through YouTube. So.
It's so great that you're doing that for everyone. It's a public service, really.
Nintendo just hates it. They're just taking all the ad money, and they're just so upset. It's like, no, we want them to buy our games, not watch them on YouTube. Sorry, Nintendo. I'm trying to do Jocelyn a favor, to be honest.
Trying to save me my monies.
Yeah.
Speaking of saving my monies, one thing I did not do was save my monies. Oh, I perfect. Bought two new things in the last, like, 2 weeks. So I bought a copy of Magic Online and some pack thing. I find it all really, really confusing, and I'm trying really hard to learn it, but man, is that game complicated. So there's, like, Planeswalkers, which I've also tried, which is different. Magic Online is basically just, like, a way to virtually play with friends. So it's the exact same cards, as far as I know, and, like, same game, same rules, same steps and everything else as if I was just, like, sitting across the table from you, Ryan, and we were having a card magic game. So it's really cool. It's really fun. I've been playing it a lot with Dills, and we're sort of catching on, but, like, the interface is not the best. So it's, like, at each stage of your turn, and each turn has, like, 6 stages. It's insane. Mm-hmm. So at each stage of your turn, you have to click OK to, you know, like, pass that stage of the turn. And then, so, like, I have to click OK, and then he has to click OK, and then I have to click OK, and then he has to click OK. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and it takes so long. And if you forget, then your timer's just sitting there and, like, ticking down as if you're thinking. Like, I'm not thinking.
I'm waiting for my turn to end. So exactly. So this is a free-to-play Magic game?
So it's a free-to-play, or, like, a free interface, but you have to, and I think you get free cards too, or maybe it's $10. I can't remember. It was really, 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 really late at night when I did all this purchasing, so I really can't remember. I think that the commander decks that we bought were like 20, I want to say, but I think that there was either a free version or a $10 version that we bought to play that was just like basic standard deck building stuff.
Interesting.
So it's a lot of fun, and I'm not going to talk about it too much because it's just like it's just magic, but. Computer magic.
It's just magic. Excuse well, me, Jocelyn. It is Magic Online.
I'm really enjoying it. But I mean, for me, and it's probably because of what I played first. Although technically, I played Magic way back in the day. But grown up, Jocelyn only just started playing Magic again, and I love Hearthstone so much because of the WoW lore. Like, I can identify with all the cards and I can understand them really, really quickly. In Magic, I'm just like, oh my god, there's novels on these cards, and I don't, like, it's not intuitive to me. I don't know any of the different things that they have built into the world, so it's, I'm really slow to pick it up, whereas Hearthstone I picked up really quickly, and I love Hearthstone so much, so it's fun, and I'm really enjoying it and probably going to play more later tonight, but I just it didn't quite grab me as much as I'd hoped it would, because I really want to get into, and I really want to love Magic, but it's so complicated and so hard to just jump into.
Well, that's the issue. I mean, that's what Blizzard nails, is that they're able to make a game that's, you know, appealing to everyone, but but it has that extra layer of goodness for the hardcores, right? Magic is all hardcore, and if you want to get into it, you have to literally keep throwing your head against the wall until you break through, and then, oh, okay, now I get it, and I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm talking like from a Lord of the Rings book or something. I don't know. I never really got into Magic, so.
Yeah, chat room is saying that, yes, you do have to buy the cards, but they have a free tutorial, so that's probably where I'm getting confused. Because I skipped the free stuff because I knew I was just going to end up playing it a lot, so I just went straight in and bought the cards, so... in order to do that, I skipped a lot of the free stuff at the beginning. So that's what's going on there. There is a free tutorial, but yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure I want to say it was like $10 to start your account and get like a starter booster packy thing. And then the commander packs that we bought were $20, I think. So, you know,
That sounds super expensive, Jocelyn.
I know.
Is well, Hearthstone better, or is it just Sorry, I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't say one's better than the other. I would say Hearthstone is easier to sit down and pick up. Like, I'm sure my mom could just sit down and start playing Hearthstone, no problem, but there's no way my mom could sit down and start playing Magic. Like, it's very complicated.
So you don't have time for that business. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't have time for that. That's why I love Hearthstone. It's like I can get in, I can play, I can get out, and I don't feel bad that it went over my head, because it doesn't. And, I totally get it. Like, I know kids. I know people, friends, that have grown up playing Magic, and they love it, and they play it nonstop. And obviously, obviously Magic Online is more of a companion to those players rather than introducing it to a different crowd of people. Mm-hmm. Whereas Hearthstone was kind of like, we're going to introduce card battlers to people who don't play card battlers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
and I think that there is some sort of interaction between... like Magic Online, and if I were a Magic player that had actual cards, or it might be vice versa. If you get the cards in Magic Online, you can order the physical copies. I know you can definitely order physical copies of things that you get in Magic Online, and I'm not quite sure if your physical collection converts to online or not. But anyways.
Are you saying that, like, if you buy a pack in-game and get, like, a rare card, you can tell Magic to send it to you?
Yes, yeah.
And does it cost anything extra to get that magicness?
There might be shipping.
That's awesome. See, that's cool. And to me, like, if I can, like, you know, start my Magic collection online and then, you know, essentially cash out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really kind of cool. What it's like, yeah. So, anyways, I'm having fun. I'm learning, so... but yeah, the interface is terrible. I think if you're looking to get into Magic and looking in to see kind of what it's all about and if you're going to enjoy it or not, take a look at Duels of the Planeswalkers. You can grab that on Steam as opposed to going and jumping into Magic Online, because if you are just completely new to Magic, it's not intuitive whatsoever. It doesn't really help you out a whole lot. It reminds me of when I used to play a lot of online poker. And it's like that kind of like late 90s, early 2000s, like poker lobbies. Did you ever play online poker? Am I going way outside of your wheelhouse right now?
I understand. You're an original card battler is what you're saying. You played the first card battler, poker.
It was like mostly text and stuff. And then they had like four different like little avatar people you could choose and stuff. And yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, like Yahoo Sports is what you're saying. Like, you could do like Yahoo Poker and Yahoo Pool.
I'm trying to remember what site I used to play on. I used to win a lot of money.
Really? Isn't that not illegal in Canada?
No, I don't think so. Besides, it's the internet, so those borders are blurred.
The internet is like international waters. Not only can you play online gambling, but you can have monkey knife fights. Learn that from The Simpsons.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. Anyway, so it's that kind of like poker lobby type, like lists of lobbies, lists of players. Like, it's if you just open it up and what you want to do is sit down and play Magic, Magic Online's not the place to start in Planeswalkers. But it is really cool, because what I'm using it for is to play with my real life friends. So we just set up a match, play each other, and there's none of the other competitive and all that kind of stuff. You can do that there. You can go into all kinds of tournaments and draws and all the fancy words that Garrett always says that I get confused and I just kind of tune out now. You can do all of those things in Magic Online, but we're just using it to play each other sort of thing. So it's a lot of fun. Cool. The other thing that I threw a lot of money into, or not a lot of money, but...
the standard amount of money, I assume.
The standard amount, yeah, was Shadow of Mordor, which I just started today. My move is kind of like calming down. I've almost got all my furniture in place. I'm getting all my stuff put away. So I was just like, you know what? I don't have to do anything tonight. So I'm going to play a freaking video game.
Good.
So I sat down for about an hour and poked around in Shadow of Mordor. My God, I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd.
Right?
I was like watching the opening cinematic and stuff, and they're talking about how Sauron's coming back and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, goosebumps. Like, I don't even care that I know this story inside and out. Like, I'm just so excited. But dude, okay, have you played this at all?
No, but it's on my list to buy once I finish a bunch of stuff. So okay. It's like my reward for doing work.
Okay, it's gonna be great. I'm not going to spoil literally anything.
Oh, cool.
But the first probably 20 minutes was like gut-wrenching. I was just like, I need to get through this because I know that this is a really cool game that people are raving about, but like I wanted to turn it off. I was like, okay, they're hitting me in all my feels and I don't like it and I just want to back away.
That doesn't sound very good. Well, it sounds good. It sounds like they didn't just do Lord of the Rings. They tried to do something new and different and go for the feels.
And I'm not going to say too much because I really, really don't want to spoil it. But I feel like we should bring up the beginning of the game again once you've had a chance to play it. Because there are a couple points that I want to touch on about things that they did. So I started killing my first few bunch of orcs and stuff. And that seems to be pretty much the goal of the game.
Sure.
There's like...
Why are you killing orcs? That's the one thing I never understood. Like, you're a dude, but you're also a wraith. Why, I didn't understand, like, what's the story, like, why do you do this?
And again, like, I don't want to get into this too much, because I don't want to spoil the first half hour for you.
Because it's that good.
Basically, there's this one big orc that does bad stuff, and you have to kind of, like, use, like, stealth and logic to figure out, like, who the lieutenants are, and you have to kind of work your way up the ranks and assassinate them all until you get to the big guy.
Okay.
That's basically the premise, is that you're going after this big guy for these bad reasons.
Interesting. Well, you know, I'm hoping to play it sooner rather than later, so I can't wait to chat about it. I've seen some people play, like, just, like, see the gameplay. I know James was streaming it a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, and... the combat looks amazing. That's what I'm interested in.
It's really fun. It's like a mix of like Assassin's Creed and Batman kind of combat. There's a little bit of stealth stuff to it. It's really kind of cool. The one thing is I forgot to find and plug in my controller. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure if it has controller support or not, but mouse and keyboard in this game really kind of sucks. The one thing it's good for is that you can do archery. And so I was finding archery really easy with the mouse, obviously. But everything else, like moving around, I was like, this is not responsive enough. So maybe I just need to tweak my settings and I'll be fine with mouse and keyboard. But if it was controller support, I think I would really, 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 really like it a lot better.
I think there is, because I saw James playing and it had Microsoft buttons all over the place. So you should be
good. Oh, okay. Good. And Joe Brewer in the chat room says, don't bother getting the PS3 or Xbox 360 versions because you're missing the best part of the game, which is the Nemesis aspect. So I haven't actually explored in any of that yet. Mm-hmm. I have the PC version.
It does have the Nemesis system.
Yeah. But I haven't, like, I've literally played, like, an hour tops, so yeah. I didn't really get too deep into anything. I just played through, like, the intro and then got, you know, down killing some orcs and then, you know, had to do stuff.
Yeah, the Nemesis system, from what I've seen, is tough to explain, but basically how it works is, like, every time a guy kills you, time passes and he gains a promotion.
Okay.
He dresses up, goes into his orc office with a briefcase and says, I've been working really hard and I deserve a raise. I just killed that dude that killed like 70 orcs single-handedly. Like, come on. And then, you know, all right, they pin a badge on him and they let him, you know, work on the sixth floor as opposed to the first. And then I think it like progresses from there, and that's where the sort of like investigating comes in, where you're trying to figure out, you know, now this guy that killed me is now a lieutenant and he's got dudes protecting him, and it's all dynamic and AI is shifting things and moving people out of place. So from the stories I have heard, I mean, you could be doing a campaign mission trying to do something Lord of the Ringsy, finding Tom Bombadil or something, and then all of a sudden these lieutenant orcs come in. It's like, haha, I killed you before and I got a promotion, so if I kill you again I'll get another one. And I like, it's the dynamicness of it. It just sounds really cool and and totally what next gen games are about. Like, this is what we've been saying, is that sure, the first 2 years of next gen systems, it's going to look great, but are they really doing anything different? And now we're seeing games that look great and are doing different things, which is why you can see that the next gen portion of this game is missing from the PS3 and 360 versions. So you're starting to see that difference. It's really cool.
I completely agree. So I'm looking forward to actually playing a lot more of that this weekend. We have a 3-day weekend up here in Canada, so that's very exciting.
Yes, also known as, thank God, more time to play video games.
Yep. It's pretty much what I'm doing with my time. Getting some bookshelves, putting some stuff away, and then games.
Good. That sounds like a plan.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we move on and talk about our topic this week?
Yeah, quickly.
Better be quickly.
No, it'll be quick. Don't worry, because most of what I played is on YouTube. It's called This War of Mine. It's an interesting war survival management game. Sort of the type of stuff you'd see on iPad as you sort of manage your city or something. But in this case, you're managing a group of civilians who are trying to survive in a war-torn city.
You do pick weird games, dude.
I know. But I love doing weird, different games. I love playing different games. It's, you know, mixing things up. And, man, if you just watched, like, a couple minutes of this video, you think this is a really weird survival zombie city type thing, but it's more based on like actual wars that are happening right now, where civilians are actually trapped trying to survive. And basically how it works is you
sounds depressing.
Exactly. It kind of is. Like, you're trying to survive, and people are constantly like coming up to your door and saying, hey, you know, I have some supplies to barter. Oh, you know, my last shelter got bombed and I have nowhere to live. Can I come live with you? And you're like, well, I don't really have enough canned food to go around. And you can kind of like let them in, or you can let them go, or stuff like that. But it's interesting. Like, normally those games, you just want to survive. But the way it works is during the day, you're managing your shelter. You're kind of like finding supplies, building things to kind of improve your shelter, improve your life as you wait out this war. And then at the night, in the nighttime, you're off scavenging for supplies. And you can go the easy route and just go to abandoned buildings, get a couple pieces of food to survive the next day. Or you can like go to populated areas and raid other people's supplies. So mistakenly, I took some guy's wife's medicine because one of my dudes was dying. And this is actually in the video. And I got back and I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't have taken that medicine. I actually felt a little guilty. And then it actually updates your character's bio. There's a little symbol, like, there's an update, and you click on it, and the character's saying exactly what I just said. Like, I feel kind of bad that we took that medicine, but it was either them or us. And, you know, in the zombie world, it's like, oh, they're going to get eaten by zombies. It's fictional. It doesn't really bother you. But when it's based on something that is happening right now, it weighs a little heavier.
Yeah, I can imagine. Again, this does not seem like a fun...
It's interesting. Game. It's not like I'm having a blast.
It's Papers, Please all over again.
I know. I know you don't like those kind of games. And I just
like a little bit more escapism. I like to be a badass wizard chick fighting orcs because of a ring.
Yeah. See, and I know, do like, too. Yeah. I totally get where you're coming from. And I love doing... You're weak. Have a cookie. No, I don't have any cookies. That's the point. It's the apocalypse. The city has been shut down.
You have to tell people you're reading the chat room when you do that. Otherwise, it just looks like you're in, like, schizophrenic or something. Sorry. I'm not weak. Have a cookie.
I was reading the chat room for those who didn't capture that. I wasn't just being crazy. Oh, like, Jocelyn's writing in the notes something about a cookie. Great. It's an interesting game, but like Jocelyn says, there's not much escapism going on when you're dealing with real-world problems. So if you're interested in exploring, you know, real-world issues in video games, this is the game for you. You can pre-order it. You can't actually play it. I played a preview copy. But it will be available soon, I believe. And I'm going to try to do more videos. Someone actually requested I do a little bit more because I actually wasn't dying. I was actually managing my shelter pretty well, I guess. Only got 3 days in, though. So, but anyways, this War of Mine, and it's really cool. I dig it. On the Papers, Please scale, of course. Yeah. Not on the killing orcs for a living scale.
Perfect.
We'll do that next week.
So I just wanted to say quickly that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to our topic of the week. And this week, we are going to talk about what the heck is left in 2014, because this year has just flown by. It's been ridiculous. So I am super excited about, like, way more of this than I should be, because my wallet is just going to hate me. But I mean, like, there is so much stuff coming out that looks so good. I don't even know where I'm going to find the time to play all of this. So
you won't. I want to say, though, before we get started for the chat room, let's play a fun little game. Okay, I want the chat room to sort of tally every game we say we want to buy and then estimate how much it'll cost at the end. This will be fun.
No, you don't want to do that. That's going to be awful. Why would you say that?
Well, so we can, you know, start, you know, putting aside money every so often and you know, starting a savings bond, taking a second mortgage out, that sort of thing.
You know, like you do for like video games. So in October, we have... Okay, so this first one, Borderlands, the pre-sequel, is this the one that's the... Because basically, I've totally just tuned out anything Borderlands. Is this the one that's the Telltale one?
No. Which is the far more interesting one, I think.
This is why I was so confused when you guys were talking about it yesterday, because you were saying, oh, Borderlands is coming out, and we can all play it together. And I was like, what? A Telltale game that you can play together? I don't know about that.
I'm making a point to not pick this game up because Borderlands 1, it was interesting. Borderlands 2, I bought way too much of that DLC and did not play enough of it.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm just going to avoid this one on principle unless it gets like super stellar reviews, but I'll wait for the next gen version, I think. Let's skip a version. This is like the Batman Origins of Borderlands games.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. So we're both skipping Borderlands, not surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So this is the one that the chat room was freaking out a little bit about earlier. This is Bayonetta 2.
One dude was freaking out. I mean, he's got heart. He's like a Ryan in training. I'll give him that. But
So this is Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U, and that comes out on the 24th. So you haven't tried the demo yet, right?
A demo just launched on the Wii U. I have it on my hard drive. I'm going to try it this weekend, and I'll put up some video of it. Have you played the first one or even know what it is?
No.
Okay. It's a third-person action fighting game. Very Japanese. It's super Japanese. And the sequel is a Wii U exclusive, which is surprising because the first one came out on 360 and PS3. I'm more interested out of like the Wii U drought factor.
Yeah. So what was the last game that you bought on Wii U?
It would have been Mario Kart? No, Hyrule Warriors.
Oh, obviously, right.
Yeah. That would have been the last one.
Like the last kind of really big title.
Definitely.
Hyrule Warriors really isn't a big title. It's one of those kind of like.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah. It's a filler. And I would even consider Bayonetta 2 a filler in the sense that the big one is Smash Brothers.
Okay, I can see that.
But Bayonetta 2 is actually interesting because when you buy Bayonetta 2, you get the first one remade for the Wii U absolutely free. So it's definitely a steal, and I love how Nintendo is kind of like throwing these extra little bits for the boils, I guess. Obviously, it's not going to make someone go out and buy a Wii U, but a lot of people have been complaining that Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U exclusive. And Ignatium, if you want to know how Hyrule Warriors is, you got to be on time, buddy.
Yeah, totally talked about that about half an hour ago.
But when we post the show, yeah, you'll get your fill, but it's super Japanese.
So the one that I'm super stoked about that comes out on the 24th is actually Civilization Beyond Earth. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man, that looks cool. It's PC, obviously, and it's another Civ game. Love.
I already pre-ordered this one, so I am right there with you. It's so
ridiculous, though, because I think the last time that I played Civilization was probably for Extra Life. And I just, it's the kind of game that I get super excited about. I play it for a day or two, and then I just, I fall off. But in that day, I probably play about 36 hours of Civilization. But at the same time, then I just walk away from it, and every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, I really want to play, but I don't have 12 hours to sink into a match right now. So I really struggle with Civ now. It was never a struggle when I was in university, because I was just like, class, mm-hmm. I have a Civilization here.
Whenever a new Civilization game comes out, I basically only start playing on a weekend, and then I black out. And then Monday happens, and I see on Steam that I've like logged like 36 hours on Civilization, and I'm like, huh. All right, well, I guess I'll wait for the next one. That was fun. And that's basically my story for every Civilization game that comes out. So I have obviously pre-ordered Beyond Earth. I love the space aspect of it. I obviously really dig the XCOM franchise, so I want to see what Civ does with this space version. And I watched a quick look of it on Giant Bomb, and there's like colonizing planets and, you know, Star Trek red shirt home base type stuff, and it just looks like a lot of fun. And it's based on an older game that, or it's like a spiritual successor. I've never played it. It's like Alpha Centauri or
yeah, something. I never played it either. That was, I think, just before I started to get into the Civ franchise. I feel like that was possibly between Civ and Civ 2, possibly. Yeah, so I never got into that one, but I'm very, very excited about this. This looks like so much fun. Cool. Next one is Sunset Overdrive for Xbox One, which comes out on the 28th.
I threw that one in there for Josh.
Yeah.
Because none of us own an Xbox One. It does look like a pretty stellar title, but it's not a system seller for me, unfortunately.
No, not even close. And something else that I probably will not be picking up that comes out in November is the next Call of Duty. This one is Advanced Warfare, although this is the Kevin Spacey one, right?
Yes. But yeah. If you want that Kevin Spacey, just go watch House of Cards. It's fantastic. And you already have a Netflix subscription.
I don't, actually.
Oh. You could easily get a Netflix subscription. It's much cheaper. You could probably burn through House of Cards in a weekend.
Well, I have already.
You've already played this game. What are you talking about? No, I'm kidding, of course. I'm similar to the story with Borderlands. I'm avoiding this one based on principle that I continue to play these games and I continue to be underwhelmed about how much I'm getting for my money because I don't like the multiplayer.
Right.
I don't like dying constantly.
I really enjoyed it when Clark and I were doing CODcast, which was like, is this still, oh crap, when was that? I guess it was about a year ago now. I'm trying to remember which one we did it for. It was Black Ops 2, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, so Clark from that time, Doghouse, and I did a show called that lasted for about 10 episodes called CODcast, and it was all about Call of Duty and just kind of talking about like a really, really short, talking about what was going on in the game and the community and all that kind of stuff, news and talking about issues and stuff. It was a really, really cool, fun show. Mm-hmm. And we had so much fun for probably about like 6 or 8 weeks, just like blasting each other. And well, mostly it was just Clark blasting me and making fun of me. And, you know, we had a great time playing multiplayer together. But I think that that's really what I need in a Call of Duty is somebody to play with me because I don't ever want to play it alone. It's not like Smite. Smite, I can jump in, I can play alone, and it's fine. But Call of Duty, yeah, I need some moral support in there.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just super demoralizing. Like, all right, I'm alive, turn a corner, dead. Well, that was a sniper. He's just probably really good at the game. Turn around corner, dead. Well, yeah. Man, that knife. It's just
Oh my god, I got knifed so many times.
I know. That's I
think I'm being all sneaky, and then someone sneakier right behind me is just like, thunk.
You know, it's funny. If anyone just started listening to the topic, they'd think, man, these people really hate video games. Like, two of the most anticipated titles, some of the most anticipated titles, and one's excited for Bayonetta 2, and one's excited for Civilization Beyond Earth. I mean, could you have a wider spectrum?
Yeah.
We're getting there, though, guys. We're getting to the meat. It's coming up.
I feel like I might pick it up. I'll have to talk to Clark and see if he's picking it up. And if he's picking it up and if he has time to play with me, then we're going to throw it down.
This is a new developer, too. This is...
And Kevin Spacey!
I'll admit, I am tempted.
He looks badass. And it looks like it might actually be a good story.
Yeah.
So... Oh. That's what I felt was missing out of Black Ops. I didn't like Black Ops or Black Ops 2 so much in this storytelling.
If they have like an equivalent to the zombies mode, not that it doesn't have to be zombies for those who are like, oh great, he's going to talk about zombies. It doesn't have to be zombies, but I like that 4-player co-op because I can handle.
Aspect.
Yeah, exactly. I can handle getting my ass handed to me by the AI, but I don't like it with that when the person that's killing me can then say like, oh, why don't you go make me a hot chocolate or something. Obviously a little, you know, I cleaned it up a little bit.
And it's make me a sandwich.
Oh, is it? I don't play out. This is why I don't play online. I can't handle that sort of abuse.
Yeah. So we have a couple of Assassin's Creed titles that are coming on the 11th. We have Rogue and Unity. So this is one I'm definitely going to pick up.
How far into the series are you?
I have played some of each one.
Oh, that's good. Have you played 4, the pirate one?
I played most of it and watched the rest of it.
Oh, good.
So I do know everything that happens in 4, and I've seen all the cinematics and stuff from 1 through all of those things that kind of went 1-2, but then there was things that were numbered, they were named, and the whole Assassin's Creed franchise is just way out of order in my head, but...
I'm tempted to get these just because I worked so hard to catch up to this place because I played 2 and then hadn't played any of them until 3 came out or maybe 3 and I was like, well, now I got to play Brotherhood, the third Ezio one, Revelations I think it was called, and then like 3, then the Vita game that got ported to PC, I played that, and then then Black Flag,
right,
and now we have 2 games coming out. I don't know if you know much about either one, but are you more excited for one or the other?
I'm excited about Unity. I'm not 100% sure what Rogue is. I haven't been keeping up on that. I've just been like, well, I know what... I guess Unity is the next-gen one, right? So that's the one that we've been hearing the most about. So what's Rogue?
So Rogue is set in the interesting thing about Rogue and why I'm a little more interested in it is because it's set in the northern... the Northern Ocean. So it's again based on the sort of boat combat stuff, but it's like Northern Expedition stuff. You don't like the boat combat?
No.
Well, then you might want to get Unity because I don't think they have boats in France. So
good.
Well, they have those weird like things that you do this.
Gondolas?
Yes. I was going to say gondola, but that felt like a ceiling type thing. So I didn't want to say it.
You mean a gazebo?
Gazebos are not ceiling things. Those are like structures. I'm talking about like chandeliers or something. Anyways, moving on. Rogue is, I think, based in like the Northern Expedition type stuff where it's dealing with where Black Flag was the grandfather of the character in 3. You're going to be playing or interacting with the father from 3. Again, there's like
and this is where it starts to get a little bit confusing, is because they're all related, and it's like, okay, so it was first dude is this dude's great great grandfather who is this guy's son with the thing and the dad and stuff, and
well, so see, that's
jumping around.
Yeah, they left that stuff behind, right? Because the it was super confusing because everybody was related to that Desmond character.
Yes,
and wait, no, that's wrong because. The third character was related to him, so therefore that father and grand... See? Ubisoft, come on. French Canadians, they just designed
Somewhere, there must be an Assassin's Creed family tree. There's got to be. Somebody has figured this shit out.
Everybody is giving Enuma a hard time for making the Zelda timeline. Where's my Assassin's Creed timeline?
Yep, you know, that's
I want to see those branching paths. And okay, this is the one where Ezio dies. This is the one where Ezio fails, and this is the one where Ezio wasn't born. Okay, that makes sense now. All right.
Oh, Explode in the chat room is saying that he still has yet to play Black Flag. You should play Black Flag. It was a lot of fun. Except for I wasn't a huge fan of the boat combat, but other than that, it had a really cool story.
Yes, so it did. You were a pirate. Really cool team.
You were a pirate, which is awesome. So then we have something that I'm sure that Ryan is stoked about and will probably make him go buy an Xbox One. Also on the 11th, we have the Halo Master Chief Collection.
No.
He's sulking.
I'm not getting it. I promise.
Yes, you are. I bet you anything come November. I'm going to come back from BlizzCon and you're going to be like, so guess what I did?
No, I'm buying a new video card. I need a new video card. I don't need a new Xbox One. Are you kidding me?
I'm making a...
I know, I can tell. I can hear it. I can hear it.
Yeah, so the Master Chief Collection is... that's all. Is that all the Halo games? Or is that the remastered one? Or what are we talking in this collection?
It's the remastered Halo 1 from 360. Mm-hmm. It's a remastered Halo 2 specifically for Xbox One. And then it's an up-resed 3 and 4.
Okay.
And it includes...
That's what I was confused. I was like, did they redo all of them?
No. That would be crazy. I've said publicly that I could play through the Halo games again if I did own. See, this is the Hyrule Warriors. This is the Wind Waker HD of the Xbox One. It's an interesting title that I would certainly pick up if I had an Xbox One, but it is not enough to make me go buy one. Like, this is sort of like your argument with the Wii U, Jocelyn. It's like, Wind Waker HD, Hyrule Warriors sounds interesting, Mario Kart, all that fun stuff, but I want to play the new Zelda. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. I want to play the new Halo. I don't want to spend $600 for, four old Halo games, as fun as they'll probably be. I want to pay $600 for that new Halo game.
What if they, and they might have already announced it, I haven't been paying attention because I'm not a big Halo fan, but what if they came out with like a Halo bundle thing and it was like a skinned Xbox One console?
You're killing me. Don't do this. I was hoping to hold off until they did that with Halo 5.
Okay.
I think if they were to do it with the Master Chief Collection, like, Microsoft's usually pretty good to get in front of this sort of marketing stuff. Mm-hmm. They're not like Nintendo where they're like, hopefully you didn't pre-order that new system that we're trying to get you to buy, because 2 weeks before release, we've got a new Zelda pack. And I'm like, really?
Well, we still have a month before that launches. So, I mean, maybe they're going to announce it a month ahead of time. Maybe tomorrow you're going to wake up and there's going to be a Halo Xbox.
It's a Thanksgiving miracle. All the Americans are like, he doesn't
not
have
Thanksgiving yet.
Thanksgiving's in like a month and a half. No, I'm not. Shut up.
So I know one thing that I'm super, super, super excited about, have been excited about for a while, pre-ordered it literally the day it became available, obviously, is Warlords of Draenor. So I am so stoked. And we get the patch next week. Very, very exciting. So basically, the patch that's coming next week is going to totally redo all of our talents, get rid of valor points, really just kind of shake up the world, give us the new character models. I'm excited to see what this is going to look like when it's all said and done. So we get the patch on Tuesday, and then Warlords goes live on the 13th of November, which is right after I get back from BlizzCon. So that weekend, I'm just going to be doing nothing but Warlords.
I will resub to WoW. It's happening.
I thought you already did.
I literally will soon. I don't know why you keep saying.
Show of hands, chat room. Who thinks Ryan is lying through his teeth about both buying the Halo Master Chief Collection and about resubbing to WoW?
You're all bad people. No, I will. I said I would. I've looked at my Extra Life schedule. My name is written under WoW Raid. If Ryan is not there, we will cut him. Not from the team. Just literally go to his house and just cut him until he plays World of Warcraft. Or loses so much blood he's got to go to the hospital.
Man, you're making this sound like a cult.
Well.
If the shoe fits.
Yeah. I'm the reason I'm so serious about subbing for WoW is because I love the lore that they're putting forth with Warlords of Draenor. Mists of Pandaria was interesting, but it didn't quite. It wasn't my Warcraft lore. It was great lore. It was new lore, but it wasn't like the old school Warcraft lore. And I would be a stupid person to pass up. You know, we're revisiting the RTS stories.
Mm-hmm.
No brainer.
I'm really excited about this, and not because I played the RTSs, but mostly because of the books. Rise of the Horde is probably my favorite Warcraft book, and I'm really, really excited. There's also The Last Guardian was really good too, and that was Medivh's story. Mm-hmm. And so basically, when you're going into Warlords, you're going to get this quest and you're going to be with Khadgar, who is Medivh's apprentice. And he's the guy that, you know, closed and destroyed the Dark Portal the first time. And, you know, it's so cool that they're bringing back all this stuff. Although it's really interesting because last we heard from him, he was trapped on the other side of the Dark Portal. So, you know, it's all this kind of stuff that you're just like, wait a minute, like, who's here? Who's where and what's going on? And oh man, I can't wait. There are so many cool and interesting characters in just this kind of time period and just what we're going back to see. I want it now. I can't wait till November.
Oh man, November is, wait, yeah, November's around the corner. And
it's going to be here before I know it, and BlizzCon's going to be over before I know it, and I shouldn't wish things away.
I know. October, you don't want to skip right over Extra Life. I mean, come on.
So I know something that you're probably totally stoked about is Super Smash Brothers. Oh, I totally skipped Dragon Age. Sorry, guys.
I thought you were talking about Dragon Age. I was like, I'm actually excited about Dragon Age.
Which is so bad because I'm excited about Dragon Age too. And this is kind of my problem with November is now I've said that I probably want to pick up Call of Duty, want to pick up Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. WoW comes out on the 13th and Assassin's Creed comes out when I'm actually at BlizzCon. So I can't even, you know, like...
You're basically starting a collection for when you get time off is what you're doing.
What's going to happen is I'm going to hit February and be like, okay, now I can play my November games.
Yes.
So, yeah. And so I'm excited about Dragon Age, too. I didn't get as far in Dragon Age as I wanted to, but this one looks really interesting.
You played the original on the console, correct?
Yes.
We talked about this yesterday. Did you pick up the On the House Dragon Age version for Origin?
I haven't yet, but I think it's still free.
You should do that. It is still free, I think, till the 14th. You should do that and give it a shot. And that one's probably the closest to what Dragon Age Inquisition is going to be. Mm. I am so looking forward to this game. I liked to, surprise, surprise, Ryan liked a game that everybody hated. Well, you know what? Everybody needs to shut up and just enjoy a good RPG. Mm-hmm. Dragon Age 2 is all right. But Dragon Age Inquisition looks fantastic. It's available on every system under the sun that matters. I don't need a PS4. I have one. I need a new video card to play this game, though.
Mm.
So
I was kind of running into the issues with Shadow of Mordor, too.
Oh, that game's a beast. So I wouldn't feel bad.
No, I know, but it's so funny. It's the first thing that my doghouse has run up against that it's had, like, not necessarily some issues, because I didn't really try it, and I probably could have. But as soon as I picked ultra settings on, I think it might have been textures, it gave me a warning saying, oh, you're probably going to see performance issues if you choose this setting based on your current configuration. I'm kind of like, damn it. This is the first thing I haven't been able to crank.
Yeah. I think that one had, there was a bit of a conversation on Twitter going on about it. Kim at Doghouse was testing it out with some new video cards. It requires a lot of video game. It requires a lot of that video game RAM, Jocelyn. Video card RAM.
Yeah, isn't it like...
It's like six gigs, I think.
Yeah, a stupid amount of gigs. Mm-hmm. I was going to say 6 or 8, but both sound too much.
Yeah. But Dragon Age Inquisition just actually announced their PC requirements, and they're fairly relaxed. Minus the video card, which is a 670 NVIDIA, which is probably maybe just a year old, year and a half maybe. I don't know. But
I'm trying to remember what the new one is that I just put in mine. It's NVIDIA, but I can't remember.
Like, they just released, I think, the 700 series.
I'm looking at my computer as if it's going to tell me.
Tell me. It's not saying anything. It's off. Never mind. Nah, I'm looking forward to Dragon Age Inquisition. I want BioWare to do good, and I think they learned a lot of lessons from Mass Effect 3. And EA is under new management now, and I think they've kind of given BioWare the, okay, you do what you need to do to make games. We won't tell you. We don't want another ending fiasco on our hands. And I think Dragon Age Inquisition will be a good solid sign of what we can expect from the future of BioWare. So everybody should be paying attention to this title if they're looking forward to the new Mass Effect, for sure. Mm.
Who isn't looking forward to new Mass Effect? Come on.
I don't know, but we're going to see that thing soon, I hope.
Oh, so exciting. Mm-hmm. So then the last thing coming out in November is Super Smash Bros., which I know that Ryan is excited about. Obviously, we're talking about the figurines that he's pre-purchased earlier.
I bought like $50 worth of figurines and $50 worth of GameCube tech to play that game. So
wow.
I'm excited. Did you not see that? Like, there was actually in the news, people were like upset that Nintendo's like GameCube adapter and new GameCube controllers would only work with Smash. And I'm like, you guys are surprised? What other game would you actually want to play with GameCube controllers with? I mean, besides Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I did it for the nostalgia factor. Plus, I'm just a sucker for those GameCube controllers. They're so good.
They are so good.
And now I can actually, I have a little adapter for my Wii U. I don't have it yet. It's not out yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Smash Brothers is my favorite, and the one on Wii let me down a little bit. I didn't play it nearly as much as the other ones, and I am just eating up the 3DS version. I'm loving it so much, and can't wait.
Oh, man. So you're playing the 3DS version. Can mm-hmm. I play against you?
If you own it.
Well, yeah. I tried the demo, I think.
Yeah, the demo doesn't have online. You'd have to buy the 3DS version to play.
Yeah, and I didn't get that into it. I found it really small. I liked Smash Brothers on like a actual big TV back in the day, but yeah, I don't know. I find it too small on the little 3DS. But I'm probably just not playing it right.
No, that's not true. I mean, you're probably playing it right. You are.
You suck.
No, I didn't say that either. I was about to agree with you in that when I first played the demo, I was like, I'm going to get this because I really love Smash, and I'm sure I'll find some fun in there. But I'm not feeling it. It's like really small, and it's kind of hard, but you get used to it, you know, and you start to actually like adapt to the screen size. It's not going to be like your competitive, like I had like people for every game that came out in the franchise, I always had my rival that it would be just a heated battle one-on-one, you know, and it was crazy. You're not going to get that with the 3DS version because you're battling the hardware, but it is just, it's just a fun little title. Some people in the chat room are actually confused as to what Smash is. It's a Nintendo brawler, four characters on screen at once. You can play as Mario, Link, a whole wide range of characters. And they came out with a 3DS version for the first time, and it's pretty good. It's a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying it, and it's not going to change your opinion of Smash if you didn't enjoy it before, but we can actually play online battles.
Cool.
I haven't tested it out, but we're...
Is this going to be Mario Golf all over again, dude?
No, I promise. For me, I could guarantee
now
you...
Now it's happened to me twice. It happened to me with Animal Crossing, and then it happened to me with Mario Golf.
I will be playing this game until the Wii U version comes out. And probably past that point, because I can't always play the Wii U. So if you were to pick it up right now, I can pretty much guarantee we will get an online match going and we'll have some fun. You can play as the Duck Hunt characters. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I haven't tried them yet, but you can play as them.
Oh, man. So then we got a couple of titles in December, but nothing really too crazy. And not surprisingly, November is really, really heavy with the releases. We've got Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which, Ryan, I don't even know. Are you excited about this? Is that why it's in the
dock? Of course I'm excited. It's, real quick, it's basically Super Mario 3D World came out last November, and it had these little mini games where they were like a little maze type situation where you played Captain Toad and you had to navigate and you had to like move the camera around to see different angles, and you had to navigate like a little maze, and there was like obstacles and stuff and baddies and piranhas that would try to eat you. Just a little mini game, but that was the one thing that I left. Like, I just want more of those levels, and they're giving it to us as a full game in December.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to pick it up?
Oh yeah, I'll be picking it up. And it's hard to explain, but it's just one of those little quirky puzzle games that are so much fun. Like, it's, I'm just looking forward to it.
All right, so then something that maybe might make you get into the whole Xbox One thing.
No.
Right after Christmas, we have the Halo 5 multiplayer beta on the Xbox One.
You know what? As long as Josh isn't listening to this right now and he's like, I'm not going to stream this, so Ryan has to get an Xbox One, but I'm pretty sure I'm just going to convince Josh to stream all of the Halo.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So you're going to live vicariously through him.
As I do every day.
That's not a bad plan.
No, it's not.
So if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H loot.com and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. That brings us to our listener feedback section, and we got a couple tweets this week. First one comes from Boba Fetish Wow, and he says, GIS Gamer in the Gamers Inn, listening to the new show, one does not simply heal a raid. As a veteran priest, even I don't do it. So I was talking about our raid nights and how I had to switch over from my hunter, which is my main, onto my priest and try to heal, and I did so badly. Like, I was terrible.
Yeah.
But I haven't played that priest since probably like April or May. Mm-hmm. And it was my boost for Warlords, so I didn't even level it up. So, like, I don't know what my spells do. Like, I don't know what my things mean. And I'm just, like, running around trying to heal. But then I'm used to playing Hunter, and you can shoot while you move when you're a Hunter. You can't cast and move as a priest. So I would get, like, 3/4 of the way through my spell and then move and cancel it. Damn it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I've never healed a raid, so, you know, kudos to you.
At least I tried.
Yes, you did.
It's one of those life experience things. Do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, we have another comment from the episode that Jules was on. I listened to it.
I love her.
It was fantastic. That episode was so good. We had her on Sleeping with the Elephant. She does podcasts super good.
She's so pro.
Yeah, she's like, blow it out of the water. This is a comment from Facebook from Alan Gambrell. Says, great episode, tickled my Blizzard bone. And now I'm subscribed to Torrent Think Tank. Awesome. You two should collaborate more often. And I agree. And this time have me on. I'd like to talk to Jules again.
I'm sure we'll have Jules back on very soon. Possibly right after BlizzCon, because I do know that my Jules is going to be at BlizzCon, and then we're going to have Warlords to play. So I think that mid to late November would be a fantastic time to get her back on. Awesome. So before we finish up, we just wanted to make sure that we said thank you very much to Josh Cook, who is our patron of the week this week. We are also going to be doing the Extra Life Marathon again this year, which I know we've hinted at a lot. Ryan, do you remember what the bit.ly link is that we ended up? Is it TGI 2014? Let me just check that.
The bit.ly link is actually bit.ly/ExtraLifeTGI2014, or maybe it's... Anyways, if you go to extra-life.org/team/TGI, I know that one works, but we will have a bit.ly link that you guys can spread around.
Okay, so it is officially bit.ly/TGI2014. So if you go there, you'll go to our team page, you can go to the roster and donate to anyone on the team. But the reason I'm mentioning it now with our patrons is because for the month of October, any money that we raise through Patreon is going to go straight into our Extra Life campaign. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to become a patron of the Gamers Inn, this is a great time because your first month is going to go straight to help the kids. So we're super excited. We want to thank everyone who is a patron. It helps us do game night, and this month it's going to help the kids. So thank you very much, everyone, and especially this week, thank you very much to Josh. So I think that pretty much does it for this week. Ryan, is there anything else you want to mention before we move away from the Extra Life topic?
No, just really looking forward to Extra Life, and we'll have more details very soon.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. If you would like, or sorry, you can find us on amove.tv. I'm so out of practice, along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on YouTube, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're looking forward to this fall, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.